The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Where the dawn of the east meets the twilight of the west and the cool of the north touches the calm of the south, and the transcendent power of God touches earth in the humility and love of Christ. Here and now, where the head of the Charles reaches out to the heart of the country and beyond, we gather for ordered worship. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it as we are able. May we stand in the praise of God. Together. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall endure, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Beloved, we owe it to ourselves to be honest with ourselves. So we begin each Lord's Day each week with a moment of pause in which we recognize our need for forgiveness. We pray in contrition and compunction and lament, trusting in God's enduring pardon and peace in order to serve God with a quiet mind. We need to bow in a prayer of pardon, and so we do as the choir guides us. Let us pray. Still dews of quietness till all our strivings cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. Beloved, hear good news. If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thanks be to God.
A lesson from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verses 2 through 15. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain to us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lesson from the Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 1, verses 21-30. For to me, living in Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please join me in saying verses from Psalm 105 with the antiphon. Among the peoples.
Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell all his wonderful works.
Glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his presence continually.
Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he uttered.
O offspring of his servant Abraham, children of Jacob, his chosen ones.
Then he brought Israel out with silver and gold, and there was no one among their tribes who stumbled.
Egypt was glad when they departed, for dread then had fallen upon it.
He spread a cloud for a covering, and gave fire to give light by night.
They asked, and he brought quails, and gave them food from heaven in abundance.
He opened the rock, and water gushed out. It flowed through the desert like a river. For he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham, his servant.
So he brought his people out with joy, his chosen ones with singing.
He gave them the lands of the nations, and they took possession of the wealth of the peoples.
That they might keep his statutes and observe his laws. Praise the Lord.
Let us stand as we are able for the singing of the Gloria Patri and the reading of the Gospel.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. Glory to you, O Lord. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into the vineyard. And when he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" And they said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." And when those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Thank you.
St. Matthew intends to encourage and to nurture full steps in faith within the community of faith. Today, upon this Boston University Alumni Weekend Sunday, we remember and affirm that Marsh Chapel is one such community of faith, a precious jewel, a rare breed, a novel venture, an open window. Your community, yours. In Matthew 20, in the vineyard, our parable represents the undifferentiated rewards of the kingdom of God. The parable affirms divine generosity and inscrutable divine goodness and generosity. Its point, behold, the divine generosity, do not begrudge the divine generosity. Its point, justice and equality are not the same thing. Justice and equality are not the same thing. Consider this parable found only in Matthew. All the workers are paid the same. As in life, so here in Scripture, there is no sure, consistent equality. To be sure, the landowner has paid what he agreed to pay. To be sure, hour by hour, the workers have received what they agreed to receive. To be sure, the daily needs of all for the day to come are met, from each according to his stamina and to each according to his needs. To be sure, the added proverb about last becoming first and first last fits the parable somewhat awkwardly, if at all. The parable acclaims God's bounteous generosity, not God's impartial equality. Justice and equality are not the same thing. When a job truly fit and meant for you goes to another on a shaky or unjust premise or process, you know the feeling of the early workers. When an illness, unearned and unexpected, afflicts your loved one, you know the feeling of those working among the grapes and feeling the grapes of wrath. When a day begins and ends, as an existential illustration of Shakespeare's 66th sonnet, you know the resentment addressed in the story from Matthew 21-16. Here in the vineyard, the undeniable difference between equality and justice faces us, as it did Jesus, Matthew, and the rabbis and others. Jesus, loving the Am Haaretz, the poor of the land, may have been telling the Pharisees to broaden their embrace. Matthew, among Jews and Gentiles, Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians, may have been admonishing the former to honor the latter. The rabbis in the same period used the same story, but added by way of explication that the later workers did in 2 hours what took the earlier ones all day. Very dubious, that. Our landowner, through Matthew's rendering, is called an oikodespotes, a person of some power. The allegory is clear. God is obliged to nobody. Further, the timing of God's grace and generosity is God's own affair, only without prejudice either to the earlier or the latter. In this way, Matthew concurs with Paul in 1 Thessalonians and elsewhere that the living will not precede the dead in the hour of judgment. Our parable does not rely on the famous passage from Exodus 16 read a moment ago. This too is a passage we should know and know about, by the way. Yet the acclamation of divine generosity in both is the same. Evening comes and morning, and in the morning there is a sweet hoarfrost covering all the ground, a layer of dew under which is manna from heaven, the bread the Lord has given you to eat. Here in the vineyard, we have again to ponder the labor at the heart of life and the labor at the heart of faith. Faith comes by hearing, but it is an active, employed listening that allows for that hearing. Faith is a gift, but is a gift like any other that requires receipt and response and embrace and maybe a thank you note or two. If faith comes by hearing, it helps if you are in earshot, in worship. Faith comes as a gift at the time of God's own choosing. But to labor and live in faith requires of us a steady, even fruitful practice of faith. Daily prayer or quiet. Sunday worship or devotion. Tithing or disciplined percentage giving. Choosing to serve or to volunteer. This is what Paul is driving at in his letter to the Philippians. Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel. I wonder about us. I wonder about you. I wonder about me. Has the unfailing light and love of divine generosity worked on us at all this past week? Are we better people than we were last Sunday? Have we heeded John Calvin on this parable? We may also gather that our whole life is useless and we are justly condemned of laziness until we frame our life to the command and calling of God. From this it follows that they labor in vain who thoughtlessly take up this or that kind of life and do not wait for God's calling. Finally, we may also infer from Christ's words that only they are pleasing to God who work for the advantage of their brethren. Our scripture lessons explore the rigors of community by acclaiming the generosity of God. And every community is a source of endless contention and intractable difference. The very rigors of assembling a couple of hundred people on a Sunday morning for an hour of devotion itself brings rigors. Yet here you are, and here we are, together, just for a moment. God is good. We come into and to worship with a heartfelt desire to grow in faith, to walk in faith, to grow in faith as we walk in faith. And one step in faith, is to find a congregational family to love and a congregational home to enjoy. And to some measure, each of you, each of us, has so found that here in Marsh Chapel. For others, this may be a moment when one has an inkling that this is your community, your congregational home, not only to visit, but also to inhabit. Notice the habit in inhabit. In the great and long and happy shadow of divine generosity announced in Holy Scripture today, we step forward together in a growing faith to notice around and about us the particular aspects of divine generosity afforded us in this chapel. Here are some things you may or may not know about your community. Marsh Chapel is a distinctive community, a congregation of souls, a chapel, not a church, with the various differences and similarities so named, a congregation laden with hopes, tasks, plans, and goals, all of which are steadily in motion. We have hopes. In 2025, we will celebrate the 75th anniversary of the building of Marsh Chapel, dedicated in March 1950, and we lean forward with hope. We hope then also to celebrate a full or partial completion of the endowment of the deanship of Marsh Chapel. We hope then also to celebrate the full physical refurbishment of the building, Marsh Chapel. We hope then also to celebrate the many hundreds of students who have heard a calling or entered or continued down the path of ministry with support and guidance of Marsh Chapel 2006-2024. We hope by then also to continue to show increase in our virtual community, audio and video both, on live stream, telephone, internet, podcast, blog, all. As we move forward, we hope then also to continue to welcome a growing number of students each week into the worshipful ministry of Marsh Chapel each and every week of the school year. We hope also to encourage our congregants, students, chapter members, and affiliates to volunteer weekly in a form of direct service to a neighbor in need. These are aspects of our shared faith and hope to do all the good we can in our brief time of stewardship, ministry, and service. All of these hopes rest on a vision, global vision, a conviction that the world is our parish and that we serve a university, Boston University, that is in the world and for the world with a long-standing history of outreach and engagement in the heart of the city and in the service of the city. That is, Marsh Chapel, Boston University, our focus will continue to become ever more global. We shall retain our envisioned vision and mission without redaction, but with the weight and sense shifting a bit. A heart in the heart of the city, a service in the service of the city, meaning a heart in the heart of the global city, a service in the service of the global city. The scripture teaches us at the very conclusion of the full gospel of Matthew, as you go, make of all disciples. And so we do so hope, and we hope to serve God in these hours and years, God and neighbor, and be of service to our university as well through Sunday worship excellence, all university events, ceremonial leadership, pastoral care at death, astute oversight of university religious life ministry program and presence, and perhaps the hardest, ongoing exemplary embodiment of the university identity in its history and hope. These are our tasks, the work that your prayers, presence, gifts, and service afford the university in which we dwell and for which we labor. We also have plans. A heart in the heart of the city and a service in the service of the city, said President Emmanuel Merlin. Our foci guiding this envisioned mission, our voice and vocation and volume. And we happily take our lead from the new refreshed Boston University plan, especially its own fivefold foci, academics, research, globality, diversity, community. And we have our own renderings of such. In fact, the university plan seems deeply rooted in the very heart of Marsh Chapel itself. In weekly work, in staffing and strategy, in the warp and woof of shared ministry, we offer our gifts through a leading academic university pulpit, through music, choral, and instrumental that carries an experimental, in that way, a research dimension, through particular attention to the 26% of our student body who are international students, through decades deep and daily in commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion, and finally and mainly to the ongoing sharing of the gifts of belonging and community, belonging in community, which religious life, including the Sunday congregation, offer with warm welcome and earnest outreach. A couple of years ago, a friend was ordained as a rabbi, and some of us were graciously included in the service. Throughout the service, the power of trusted voices and people stood out. The one ordained said, "For over 30 years, I've been in a lifelong love affair with my faith, seeking a substantive connection to our tradition and a close and meaningful relationship with God." Close, meaningful. These are the relationships that bring out our own most selves. Steps in faith, nurtured by a community of faith, nurtured in this community of faith, are meant to bring out, to bring forward your best self, your true self, your own most self. And the old story holds. God's divine generosity desires and affirms your life, lived as your own most self, not your almost self. As your own most self, not your almost self. The divine question is not, why are you not more like Jane or John or Mary or Mark? But why are you not more like you. There is only one you. And in community, step by step, in faith, we are given time, grace, and support to become ourselves, our very own most selves. Hear the gospel. St. Matthew intends to encourage and nurture full steps in faith within the community of faith, perhaps beginning for you this day, this morning, in community. Today we affirm and remember that Marsh Chapel is a community of faith, one such, our community of faith. And with glad hearts, we give ourselves over to the joyful service of living that faith, living our faith together, step by step, here and now. That is, we receive the divine generosity of Almighty God and give ourselves over to the joyful service of faith. Amen.
We now enter into the time of our service, where we join ourselves together as one body of Christ in prayer. As we prepare our hearts, our minds, and bodies for prayer, you are welcome to stand, to sit, or come forward and kneel at the altar rail. Now let us enter into a posture of prayer as we sing our call to prayer, "Lead Me, Lord," as printed in your bulletin. Let us pray. O God, with us, your word is near on our lips and in our hearts. We have traveled far and long in heart, mind, and body to arrive here this morning. Thank you for guiding us back to this place for a moment of Sabbath, worship, and rest. God of abundance, for this and every day, for all the splendor around us, and for the words and music offered up in praise, we give you thanks. O God, you who are gracious and merciful, we thank you for the ministry and presence of everyone here at Marsh Chapel. We thank you for this congregation of souls and all the way it has grown and loved. Continue to lead us and the larger church as we strive to work for the blessing of community. Guide us to walk forward in faith to help grow and shape our individual and communal worship to be more and more pleasing to you. O God, who is ready to relent from punishing, impart your compassionate wisdom to all leaders of our community. Give them courage to serve the people with mercy and love, the mercy and love that you model for us. We pray for all of those, all of us, who face injustice, for those who face various physical and spiritual insecurities, for those who feel lost and without a home. Give them strength in the times of uncertainty, stress, and exhaustion. God who saves, direct your people who are tempted by evil ways. Protect all your children from calamity and disaster. Encourage all who are in despair or pain of any kind. Repair the broken relationships between ourselves and the rest of your creation. We pray for our students. We give you thanks for bringing them here, for keeping them safe these first weeks in the semester. Continue to guide them as they navigate new relationships, new courses, and new ways of being. Teach them and teach all of us to cultivate and hold on to peace in times of chaos and anxiety. Merciful and gracious God, we give you thanks for all that you have provided for us, for this opportunity to come before you with all our needs and desires. As we leave this place, may we feel no fear, but depart with joy and praise, filled with gratitude for your steadfast love and confidence and courage as we go out to find our own most self. Lord, we bring all these prayers up to you, knowing that you hear every word, whether said aloud or whispered in our hearts. We lift these prayers up in the name of your Son, Christ our Lord. Amen. And now we pray with assurance of heart the prayer that your Son taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Oh. Thank you.
sinners, God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. At your table, we present this money, symbol of the work you have given us to do. Use it, use us, in the service of your world, to the glory of your name. Amen.
May the sun show warm and bright on you, your darkest night a star shine through, your dullest morn a radiance brew, and when dusk comes, God's hand to you. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be and abide with each one of us now and forever.